The epistle to be read today for the first Sunday of Lent is taken from St. Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 6. Brethren, we exhort you that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, In an acceptable time I have heard thee, and in the day of salvation I have helped thee. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Let us give no offense to any man, that our ministry be not blamed. But in all things let us exhibit ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience and tribulation, in necessities and distresses, in stripes and prisons, in seditions and labors and in watchings, in fastings and chastity and knowledge, in longsuffering and sweetness in the Holy Ghost, in charity unfeigned, in the word of truth, in the power of God, by the armor of justice on the right hand and on the left, through honor and dishonor, through evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet known, as dying and behold we live, as chastised and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as needy yet enriching many, as having nothing and possessing all things. In the Holy Gospel. It's taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 4. At that time, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. And the tempter coming said to him, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Who answered and said, It is written, Not in bread alone doth man live, but in every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, and set him upon the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He hath given his angels charge over thee, and in their hands shall they bear thee up, lest perhaps thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil took him up into a very high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And he said to him, All these will I give to thee, if falling down thou wilt adore me. Then Jesus said to him, Begone, Satan, for it is written, The Lord thy God shalt thou adore, and him alone shalt thou serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Then Jesus saith to him, Begone, Satan, for it is written, The Lord thy God shalt thou adore, and him alone shalt thou serve. And then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. These words are taken from the Gospel of today's Mass, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There is a true story and famous story about a man named Tobias. His father had always taught him to love and serve God. He instructed him never to transgress the commandments of the Lord. He told him to be ready to give alms. He said, If you have much, give abundantly. If you have little, be sure to be willing to give some of what you have. For alms deliver us from sin and will not suffer the soul to go into darkness. This good father also taught his son to treat his fellow men as he himself would want to be treated. Be sure, he told his son, that you never do to another what you would hate someone to do to you. Bless God at all times and desire him to direct your ways. Then Tobias answered, saying, I will do all these things, father, which you have commanded me. Now, one day, his father sent him to go to a distant country to receive some money that was owed him. So Tobias set out to the city of Rages to collect the debt for his father, who was blind and now sick. Now, Tobias did not know the way, and so he went to seek a guide who would show him how to get there. Now, he had not gone too far when he met a young man, who in fact already looked all set for a journey. Tobias did not know who the young man was, but he addressed him, saying, "Good man, do you know the way to the country of the Medes?" The man answered, "I know it well, and I will conduct you to Gabel's at Rages, and I will bring you back here to your home. You can call me Azarias." On the evening of the first day, the travelers reached the banks of the river Tigris. Tobias, who was tired, hot, and worn out, sat down on the bank of the river and put his feet into the water. Suddenly, an enormous fish came so close that Tobias cried out to Azarias, "Look, the fish is coming to eat me." Azarias, seeing him so fearful, exclaimed, "Take the fish by the gill and pick him up." Tobias did so, and he put it on the bank of the river. Azarias then instructed him to take out the heart, the gall, and the liver. "For these," he said, "are useful medicines that will help heal your father." Then making a fire, Tobias broiled some of the fish for dinner, but the rest of the fish he salted to serve as provisions for the rest of their journey. After traveling some time, they finally came to a city. Tobias asked his guide, "Where will we stay the night?" Azarias answered, "There is here a man named Ragu, a kinsman of your tribe, and he knows your father. And he has a daughter named Sarah, and you must take her to be your wife." Tobias replied, "I hear that she has been given to 7 men, and they all died. In fact, a devil killed each of them on the night of their wedding." But the guide reassured Tobias. He told him that the devil only had such power over those men because they were evil and had bad intentions. "But you," he continued, "pray for 3 days, and then the devil will be driven away, and you shall obtain a blessing." Now Raguel was overjoyed to see Tobias, for he was a good friend of his father's. And so Raguel consented to give his daughter Sarah to be Tobias's wife. And Tobias and Sarah spent 3 days in prayer, after which the devil had no power to harm him. Then the guide Azarias went to the country of the Medes to collect the money from Gabelus. After the wedding, Tobias finally returned to his father and mother with the money and his new wife, Sarah. He applied the fish remedy to his father's eyes, and he received his sight and was able to see again. His health was restored to him. After, they went to thank the guide Azarias, who had done so much for the young Tobias and his family. They tried to offer him money, but Azarias replied, "Rather give glory to God, because he hath shown his mercy to you." "Prayer is good," he said, "with fasting and alms, for which I offered your prayer to the Lord. And because you were acceptable to God, it was necessary that you also, that also temptation should prove you. The Lord has sent me to heal you and to deliver Sarah from the devil. For I am the angel Raphael, one of the 7 who stand before the throne of God." Tobias and his father immediately fell down on their faces and fell down with great fear. But the angel Raphael told them, "Fear not, but praise God who has sent him to help them in their great need." And then he vanished. And Tobias and his father were blessed with a long life, and all their family was blessed and lived in the fear and love of God. Now, there are so many other examples of angels being sent by God to help men. The Old Testament is full of different stories. And God's loving providence is no different now. How often does God send his angels to help and assist mankind? Even though we don't see them, we cannot count the number of times that our guardian angel has stepped in to help us. The angels are all around us, helping and assisting us every day. They are with you right now. In fact, there are a host of angels here present to witness the sacrifice of the Mass. For at every Mass, thousands of angels come to assist the divine mystery. And God has ordained that there be an angel set to protect certain places. In fact, every city has its own protecting angel guardian. And St. Thomas says that every planet, star, and all great heavenly bodies has an angel watching and guiding it. For you see, God has an angel watching over the entire universe to keep it on course and to keep it from deterioration and decay. Angels watch and govern the physical laws of nature. They control the wind, the sea, and the movements of other inanimate objects. Now, how do angels fit in with the first Sunday of Lent? Well, let us look at today's liturgy. The tract for today's Mass, that is, the prayer read after the Epistle and before the Gospel. And today's tract is taken from Psalm 90. It refers to God's providential protection. And it is, in fact, what the devil quoted in the Gospel. It tells us how we should take courage, for we have our angels to protect us, always there to watch us. It says, even if we see thousands of men fall at our side, we should fear not, for an angel is there to protect us and even prevent us from stubbing our toes, so to speak. Psalm 90 says, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right side, but it shall not come near to thee. For he that hath given his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways, in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt walk upon the asp and the basilisk, and thou shalt trample underfoot the lion and the dragon. That is, our angels will protect us from all kinds of evil, injury, and harm. And the different animals are mentioned to show it is from all kinds of things, those seen and unseen. Now, it's interesting that the psalm also makes reference to an incident of the Old Testament. It happened at the time of Ezekias and Isaiah the prophet. Jerusalem was surrounded by an immense Assyrian army of about 200,000 men. And so Ezekias prayed for God's help. And God, in fact, sent an angel in the night to the camp of the Assyrians. And the angel killed about 185,000 of the army of the Assyrians. And so the Assyrian king had to flee in shame and was later murdered by his two sons. Now, my dear faithful, let us look at today's gospel and how it refers to the angels. In the gospel, we read of our Lord fasting and praying for 40 days in the desert. Our Lord did this to prepare himself for his public life. He also fasted to give us an example to follow. But afterwards, the gospel says he was hungry, and then the devil came to tempt him. And our Lord, of course, put Satan to flight. Jesus saith to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, the Lord thy God shalt thou adore, and him alone shalt thou serve." And then we see the angels coming to minister to our Lord. My dear faithful, we see then in today's liturgy a reminder for us to have recourse to and confidence in our guardian angels. Now we have just started the holy season of Lent, and we have begun the Lenten fasts and started our acts of mortification and penances. We have renewed our resolutions to pray more and with better attention and devotion during this season. And so we need help. As I mentioned before, human nature doesn't like these things, naturally speaking. But we have one whom God Himself has given to assist us, our guardian angel. Each human being has his guardian angel from the moment of his birth. As St. Thomas says, it is fitting that changeable and error-prone human beings should be guarded by an angel, and thus steadily moved and regulated to do good. You see, our guardian angel is a gift of divine providence. And St. Jerome says, the dignity of the human souls is so great, for each has an angel appointed to guard it. And God loves us so much, His providence extends not only to mankind as a whole, but even to each individual human being. And so, each one of us has, by God's loving providence, his own guardian angel. And now in heaven, each man will even have an angel as a companion to reign with him. Just as in hell, each man will have a fallen angel to punish him. And so, just as we saw with the young Tobias, our angel is here to help us, and especially during Lent. He will take our prayers and sacrifices and bring them to the throne of God to make them more acceptable. Our angel will help us with the fasts and penances. He will move us to be more generous and give us the strength and courage to persevere. Our guardian angel will be there to help us resist the temptations of the devil. Our angel is specifically given to each one of us to help us on our journey to heaven, to practice virtue and resist the tricks of the devil. Since angels are superior to man, they can enlighten man. They can strengthen the understanding of human beings and make men better aware of things. Angels, good or bad, can exercise an indirect influence on human wills and our senses by bringing up images in the imagination. Angels can also work upon our senses by assuming some visible form or by making man see what is not really there. Now, God also ordained that our guardian angel should protect us even from physical harm, as he did in the story of Tobias, as he provided so much for him. And as you have probably heard, so many other stories of angels helping and assisting men. Our angel will see to it that we have everything we need to get to heaven, even material things. Sometimes, however, if it is for the good of our souls, our guardian angel will allow some harm to come to us and permit us to suffer some injury if it is God's will. Otherwise, he will protect us from all evil and misfortunes. Let us then, my dear faithful, confidently go to your guardian angel and ask him to help you be generous with your Lenten fasts and penances. Ask him every time you pray to take your prayer and bring it to the throne of God for you. Even imagine him there by your side as you pray your daily prayers and say your family rosary. In the time of temptation, turn to him and ask him to direct your thoughts to something holy and give you the strength to resist the temptation. And always remember that he is there by your side at all times, and he sees everything you do. And don't forget to think often of our Lord's passion and death these next few weeks. Imagine the angels there watching our Lord undergo the horrific pain and sufferings of his passion. At each scene of the passion, you can be sure the angels were there watching and praying for fallen mankind. And remember, as you practice Lenten penances, to ask your angel guardian to help you to be cheerful, even in the midst of your sufferings and trials. Especially when it seems hard and you don't want to do something, offer it to your suffering Savior. And so let us never forget our oldest and closest friend, who was there when we drew our first breath, and never failing us even to our death. As Father Faber says, "In our angel we have an unseen friend and benefactor, an intimate and never failing companion in our journey through life. How often, perhaps, we almost felt his presence and his power in rescuing us from some danger. How indeed shall we ever repay him for the love he has shown us?" God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.